Chapter 8. The Party. Sanara, 2022.
It was Saturday, party day. Martha's ordered all the food and drink online, but we need decorations, Clem told me. Rick can drive you to Penzance to buy them, but first, can you wake Meg up? Then I'm going to Gareth's house to borrow some things.
Rick came with me to Meg's room. But when we knocked on her door, there was no answer. We went inside and then stopped. Meg's room was empty and the bed was tidy.
She left with Josie last night, Rick said. But I went to bed early, so I didn't see her come back. Did you?
No. Last night, I'd only thought about Rick, not Meg. Rick tried calling Meg's phone, but there was no answer. He was really worried.
Can you check with Martha? He said. I'll look in all the other rooms.
Martha had not seen Meg either. Then Rick drove us straight to Josie's house. I knocked on the door and we waited. Then the door slowly opened. It was Josie's mum, who never opened the door. At first, she looked nervous. Then she smiled.
Hi, Angie, I said. We're looking for Rick's sister, Meg. Did you see her last night?
Angie smiled.
Yes, she's here.
Angie put a finger to her mouth and pointed to Josie's bedroom door. I opened it as quietly as possible. Josie and Meg were lying next to each other, fast asleep.
Why didn't she just text me? Rick said, letting out a deep breath.
He showed me that his hands were shaking.
I really thought that the worst had happened.
I texted Martha, and then Rick and I went shopping for the party decorations. Rick paid for everything on a credit card. I tried to imagine what it was like to spend £100 without worrying about it. After, I showed Rick around Penzance, where I had been to school for 5 years. Now that it was summer, Penzance was full of tourists. It was a cool town next to the sea, full of art shops and bookshops. But it had problems of poverty and homelessness, and I knew that Rick could see that too. There were many holiday homes, but there were also people using food banks, homeless people, and people with drug and mental health problems. I wondered if people having second homes like Clem and other people being homeless was part of the same problem. Life was unfair. Some people had too much, and others had nothing. Rick and I went to the beach and ate fish and chips.
I was so scared this morning. I thought that something really bad had happened to Meg, he said.
It was so easy to talk to him now, and I felt happy.
Do you think that Josie and Meg... I said.
Yes, definitely. Rick laughed. Meg's bi. She likes girls and boys. And I'd say that Josie likes Meg too.
I wanted to say, what about you and me? But I was afraid. Then Rick spoke.
I never feel that way about anyone, he said.
I waited for him to say, except you, but he had stopped.
Really?
I replied. Then I looked away. I did not want him to see me cry.
Yes, I hardly ever meet anyone who I even find interesting.
Me too, I said quickly. I never like anyone either. I felt so stupid. I had thought that something was happening between us,
but I had imagined it all.
We should go back, I said. We hardly spoke as we drove back to Cliff House. When we arrived, I went to my room and had a shower so that I could cry without anyone knowing. I kept away from Rick after that. Later, Josie, Meg and I drove down to Martha's cottage to collect all the food and drink for the party.
How many people are arriving, and at what time? Martha asked me.
Not many people, I replied. Clem has told them to arrive at 6, so we can use the pool in the sunshine.
The swimming pool and wine, said Martha.
I nodded. We won't let anything bad happen.
What about the gates? She asked.
We'll have to leave them open. Martha was very happy when she heard that. She hated the electric gates. After Josie and Meg left, Martha and I went upstairs to the second bedroom, the one full of clothes. Martha asked me to pass her a long, dark red dress. She touched it gently and looked like she might cry.
Yes, she said quietly. I shall wear this.
She let me choose anything that I wanted, and I chose a beautiful 1960s dress with yellow and blue lines. I remembered Felicity telling me weeks ago that I had a yellow and blue aura.
Go into my room and try it on, Martha said.
When I went into Martha's room, I looked out of the window and got a shock. You could see straight down the garden to the camellias. We had pulled bones, a watch, and a skull out of a hole below those camellias, and perhaps Martha had seen. Did she know? By 6:30, the house and the swimming pool area were crowded. Clem and Gareth had invited about 70 people, and I knew almost all of them. The music was loud, and people were dancing, drinking, swimming, and laughing. Martha was sitting on a chair by the pool with a glass of champagne. She was wearing her dark red dress and had put on some makeup. The blue and yellow dress that I was wearing made me feel like someone else, someone more sure of herself. Josie came towards us, looking amazing in a silver dress. Martha smiled at her.
Look at this, Josie, she said. This is all that I ever wanted, to have the gates open, to see the house full of people. It's so boring being old and alone. Now I can die happy.
Then Clem came running over, wanting Gareth to take photos of her and Grandma. I walked away, and Josie followed. We went all the way to the fence on the top of the cliff and looked out at the dark ocean. Isn't it strange to think that the police will come and dig up the garden? Said Josie. I looked at her and knew that she wanted to say something important. What's wrong, Josie? I asked. Josie had never been this happy or this afraid. Meg made her feel wild and alive, but she could not stop worrying about Uncle Andy and Rachel. I can't stop thinking about that skull, Josie began. Then she told Sonara everything about Andy, that he knew Rachel Thomas before she disappeared, and that Felicity had been Rachel's best friend. Sonara slowly nodded. I see what you mean. It was not what Josie had wanted to hear. She took a deep breath. This is what we know, she said, and counted on her fingers. 1. Uncle Andy preyed on young girls. Even Mum said that. 2. Before he went to Thailand, he was going out with Rachel, who then disappeared. 3. Nobody has seen Rachel since. 4. Rachel used to be friends with Felicity, so she probably came to this house. 5. There's a body buried in the garden, and it must be Rachel's.
No, Sanara said suddenly. Maybe Rachel died in an accident, or ran away from home. We'll never know. I think that your uncle's death has affected you, and perhaps he wasn't a good person.
But that doesn't mean that he killed his girlfriend and buried her in someone else's garden.
Yes, you're right, said Josie. Thank you.
She felt happy. Anyway, the police will do DNA tests on the skull, said Sanara. They'll soon know if it's Rachel's or not, but I think that it won't be. Remember, there was an old burial ground here too. Now, why don't we go back to the party? This is probably the only time that we will be invited to a party at Cliff House, so let's go and have fun.
Josie smiled. Thank you. You're a wonderful friend.
So, what's happening with you and Rick?
Nothing, Sanara said.
What about you and Meg?
Everything, said Josie.
Go and find her then, said Sanara.
When Meg saw Josie coming, she ran into her arms and they kissed. Kissing a girl was different. It was better. Kissing Meg felt right in every way.